What is the name of the game show John Ralphio pitches to Tom in the episode Lil Sebastian? Answer at the end of the episode.
I'm Kurt Hapley, and I just realized I'm not holding my microphone.
And I will call my new Italian fast casual eatery the Locale Calzone Zone.
You can trust me, because I don't care enough about you to lie.
Everything I do is the attitude of an award winner, because I've won an award.
I made my money the old-fashioned way. I got run over by Alexis!
Hello! Welcome back to Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast where I discuss anything and everything from character breakdowns to episode rewatches, as well as some other trivia and tidbits about the show. My name is Brian and I'll be your host. This is episode number 102 being recorded Sunday, January 14th, 2024. And today I'm going to be doing a review of season 3. If you'd like to contact the show, you can email citizensofpawnee@gmail.com. You can also follow and message the show on Instagram at Citizens of Pawnee Podcast, as well, as my other page at Parks Rec Memes. And just a reminder that this podcast will have full spoilers for the entire series. Wow! It has been almost a month since you guys have had the pleasure of hearing my beautiful voice. Well, if you listen to it on the day of release, but the last episode came out December 17th, and this one is coming out January 16th. So, sorry, guys, that got a little out of hand. I plan on taking off just like a week or two. Well, no, not a week. It was going to be more than a week. It was going to be like two. However, listening back on that last episode, I remember saying it's like, oh, it'll be back that first Tuesday after New Year's. Well, that was my birthday, and I wasn't going to that has nothing to do with that. I don't know. I'm just telling you it's my birthday, so maybe someone will message me and say happy birthday. But anyway, the truth of it is I just didn't feel like doing it, to be honest with you. I just needed a break. Doing the podcast by myself weekly with no help at all. And I know that the podcast, it's like kind of a crappy one anyway, so it's like, yeah, you can tell one person does it, but you know, I love doing it, but sometimes I just need a little break. So since the last episode, the Earth has fucking iced over, or at least, the segment of the planet that I live on. Jeez. So we knew that, you know, this winter was going to be coming. Everything's just kind of like our seasons are all off course now, at least from where we were when we were younger. And I'm talking about like my generation, you know, I just turned 43. But holy shit balls. I mean, we got snow on Halloween. We got snow, I think, on Thanksgiving. I'm not joking. Or maybe it was like the day after. We got no snow on Christmas. And then we got snow on New Year's Eve. And then this past Friday, we got like 8 inches of snow. It was insane. Like there was a snow day for pretty much everyone in our area. It was awesome. So we got an extra day off. And then this upcoming Monday, the Monday that was yesterday, in the United States, at least, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So we get that off. So nice 4-day weekend for me. And then I just got an email actually from my boss saying that we might be off Tuesday too, actually, just because it is going to be awful, probably colder than it is today. Right now it's like 10 degrees. In Illinois, where I'm at. And it was funny too, because, it's Sunday, stuff's closed. The family were pretty lazy on Sundays. And, Joni was telling me she had a couple things to do. And I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, I'm like, you know, I gotta go. I wanted to put gas in my car cause it was pretty low. It's not good to, keep it low in this kind of weather. Thanks Elf for the tip and Joni. But, so I told her I would go out and she's like, no, she's like, wait, why don't you wait till it's warm out at like noon? And yeah, that was me waiting till it was warm when it got to like 10 degrees. So it's scary stuff. Happy New Year to everyone. Again, it's been a couple weeks since then. I don't have any resolutions. I've tried doing resolutions in the past. I tried one last year. Actually, that one's still going. But for the most part, it's just like, yeah, no, there's nothing I really am thinking of right now that it's like, oh, I got to stop on January 1st. That is going to make things, you know, so I don't know. I'm not trying to be grumpy or anything like, oh, resolutions are stupid, but it's like, I don't know. I mean, just if you want to stop doing something, just do it. You don't have to wait till New Year's, you know? So, like I was saying before though, with, all this time off I've had, it has been wonderful. So I actually had to check just so I could be correct on this. I checked my phone looked at my calendar. Out of the last 18 days, I have worked 5 days. It has been fucking incredible. And don't worry, that's not like one of these things where it's like, oh, work slow, like I'm losing money, anything like that. No, I'm good. I'm safe, everything like that. However, it's just been a combination of vacation time, weekends, holidays. You know, we had Christmas and New Year's Eve in there, so those were both days off, and then I got the days off after both of those days. Took vacation time. What else there was? And then, you know, like I said, there was a snow day, and there might even be the cold day on Tuesday. So that would be pretty amazing, though. Like, it was already going to be a 3-day weekend, and then if it was bookended by two, like, winter slash cold slash snow days, whatever. But I would have to say that this was probably my favorite Christmas break as an adult. And I know that sounds weird saying, because it's like I'm not a kid, you know, and it's like, ah, Christmas vacation. But I just, again, like a combination of the time off I had, and then just, I think one of the things that really, really helped was the fact that our Christmas vacation this year, like my wife, my daughters, mine, we don't all like work out of the same school, but like the break started basically the first day of the break was Christmas Day. So it was on that Monday. It was awesome. So then after Christmas, pretty much the stress of Christmas was over. I mean, unless you're like a late bloomer like I am, or like a late shopper or whatever. We did have my parents thing to go to after Christmas. We went like the following Saturday, but that was the only thing. And I had all their stuff paid for and bought and everything and wrapped and whatnot. So it was pretty incredible. But yeah, I just thought it was wonderful. I needed the time off. Got to sleep on the couch a lot. I love sleeping on my couch. It's so comfy. So speaking of Christmas, though, so I got to give a shout out to my mom and also my sister, Jessica. Again, I forgot what number episode it was, but she was on the episode where we compared the characters from The Office and Parks and Rec. Let me tell you, these two understood the assignment. And by that, I mean Christmas gifts for yours personally. So yours truly. I fucked that up. Yours personally. I was trying to think as I said it, like, but anyway. So they asked like, hey, what do you want for Christmas? So I kind of told them, it's like, hey, you can get me gift cards for here or here or whatever. Or if you want to just like go on Amazon or NBC.com or whatever and find me some fun Parks and Rec stuff, you know, just that I can kind of have, collect, you know, and just like have around like my desk area and whatnot. So they came through and it was awesome. My mom got me a pair of Ron Swanson socks. I don't have them next to me, though, so I forgot what the quote is. I think it's just about the one where, like, if everyone just... it's the one talking about how it's like they're adults, they can do it themselves. I think talking about, like, April and Andy. I don't know. It's a fun one, though, but it works well for, like, all situations. And then my sister, Jessica, she got me two trivia games and a coloring book. Yes, a Parks and Rec coloring book. I love it. I haven't started on it, and I don't know if I'm gonna, because again, I do love collecting things, but it's pretty awesome. Maybe I'll post some pictures of it on the Instagram. So when you're listening to this episode, if you want to check that out, you can do that. But yeah, it's an awesome coloring book. And then the two board games, or they're not board games, they're like trivia games. So they're just boxes with like a lot of cards in them and whatnot. I opened one of them just to kind of like look through some of the cards and get an idea. And it's a lot of quotes and stuff, which is great. Like, who said this? And it's like, for me, not to sound like you're like, ooh, well, for me, but I am pretty knowledgeable with Parks and Rec. So I was going through and it's like, all right. So I didn't open the other one. The only problem is, though, with these games, and Jess, I know you're not listening, but even if you hear this, this is not a knock on your gift. I have no one to play these games with. That's the only problem. It sucks. Like, no one, like, my brother, you know, I could play with him, but it's like us two. I don't know. Maybe you guys can come up with some kind of idea. That would be a fun idea, man. If I had a better computer, though, this thing sucks. If I had like better equipment and whatnot, I would love to like host a Skype session or like a something like a Discord or whatever, where like some of you, some of the listeners, like who are interested, like if we could figure out a way to like have this game where I'll host a trivia game, something like that, that'd be awesome. I mean, if any of you guys were ever interested, and I'm not saying we're doing this like tomorrow, maybe the day after, but no, but yeah, no, I think that'd be fun. It would be like some fun interaction, and then a good way for me to use these games that I can't really use them with anyone. I mean, like, Joni doesn't watch Parks and Rec. Like, all the information she has, I've crammed down her throat. So actually, she'd probably be pretty good on this game. But So anyway, what else do we got? Yeah, I was like, as far as Christmas goes too, sorry, I'm just like rambling on. I know it's been like a month. I was wondering, like, what do you guys do? Like, what are your Christmas traditions? Because we do a white elephant game with Joni's family, a white elephant. We used to do it with mine, with my mom's family, but just like as people kind of started getting older and like, you know, Christmas just, it's not what it used to be. So people don't play it as much. If you've never played a white elephant game before, it's like The Office season 2, I think it was that game they're essentially playing. They call it Yankee Swap, but there's so many different names for it and different iterations too, where you're essentially just, everyone buys a gift. Well, actually, no, you know what? Cause that's Yankee Swap. That's kind of like everyone, you know, every gift is random and it could be for whoever. This one we do with the white elephant is where everyone picks a name and it's like, you only have to buy for one person, but you can spend a little more on them. You know, you can spend like, you know, 50, 60, 100 bucks, whatever you want to do, as opposed to just like having to buy a gift for all 12 people in the family, you know? So it's kind of nice, saves money for everyone. So the last 2 years though has been awesome for me because I'm a smart ass by trade. Like if I were to have had a New Year's resolution, it would be, please help me stop being such a smart ass to other human beings. Like I try not to, or there's certain times when it's like, you just can't help yourself. But I mean, like I just, by nature, I have like a sarcastic tone. And honestly, for those of you listening to this who know me, please know I'm not lying when I say like, I don't mean it. I don't know why I can't help myself. So a lot of things I say come out very backhanded and very shitty, and I don't mean it. Kind of like in Parks and Rec when Mark Brandanowitz in season 2, when he comes up to Leslie and he's like, hey Leslie, I have a question I gotta ask you. And she's like, oh, come on in, I love being asked questions. And he just stops for a second and he's like, I don't know if you're being serious or not. She's like, oh no, I am. So I apologize. But anyway, so I also have a sense of humor though. Not a very good one, as you all know. But so for the white elephant game, Joni every year, she runs it. So she prints out these sheets and it's essentially just like a questionnaire almost. And it's asking you questions about, you know, like, hey, what's your favorite this? What's your favorite that? What kind of stuff? Basically just getting ideas without you saying, hey, buy me this. Hey, buy me season 2 of Homeboys in Outer Space or, you know, I don't know. But so one of the, so it's a bunch of different questions. Favorite scents. What kind of things do you like? Do you like salts or do you like sweets? Do you like candles? Do you like sports? Da, 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 things like that. So the past 2 years, it's been great because like, there's not a ton of, I'm just not like a very, I don't know. I mean, like I love the podcast and like, I don't know. I mean, there's not a ton of stuff like I just needed. I mean, granted, I need a bunch of equipment like for just podcasting and whatnot, but I did get a nice gift from my brother-in-law Alex, which will come in handy soon, hopefully, when I get an upgrade on my equipment. Anyway, I'm just totally droning. I'm sorry. Droning, drawling, whatever. Okay, so back to this this little questionnaire thing. So 2 years ago, Joni's cousin Michael, his wife. So I guess I would say like cousin-in-law. I think that's what I've called him before, so I'll call her that as well. They're awesome people. But anyway, Janet, she had me for Secret Santa last year. And so one of the questions, like I said before, it was like favorite scent, like S-C-E-N-T, like a smell. What's your favorite smell? So I put 50, like favorite scent, 50 scent. Haha, I thought it was very clever. And then there was another one. It was just like, these are things that I love. And it was like just three ones. It's basically, this whole sheet is like different questions, but all asking you the same thing, like just different ways of asking the same question, what you want for Christmas and what you like. So this last one, it was like, name one thing you want more than anything. And I just wrote silence. And don't get me wrong, I'm not like the prick that like every single answer on here is like, I mean, like I filled out most of the ones and then it's like when I started feeling like the answers were getting redundant, that's kind of when I started just giving like these like kind of backhanded answers. So anyway, yeah, it said like something you want more in the world than anything, and I said silence. So Janet got me part of the box of things she got me. One of them was like an autobiography for 50 cent that she got on Amazon. So it was incredible because when I opened it up, I was very confused and thought she got the wrong person. But then like it kind of kicked in and I was like she started kind of laughing and she's like, you said 50 cent. And then I immediately was like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. So it was great. And then when I was like, oh, I just want silence, she gave me earplugs. So that's pretty awesome. They're actually still sitting in my desk right now. I saw those the other day, and it reminded me of it. So it was awesome. So anyway, this year, oh my God, wouldn't you know it? I can't help myself, you know? So I get the questionnaire, and one of the things was like, what size clothing do you wear? And so in this white elephant group that we play with, there are four men and about 8 or 9 women. So it's like, first of all, it's like, I don't need other people buying me clothes unless it's like a novelty Parks and Rec shirt or something like that. So I think I did right. It's like just shirts, size L, if it's something fun, whatever. And then again, just because I couldn't help myself, I wrote, or no, you know what? I didn't even put down my size. I think I just wrote, don't buy me clothes unless it's Zubas. Which, if you're not familiar, you can say Zubas, Zubaz, Zubays. I don't know. Everyone says it differently. I say Zubaz, so that's how, because I'm from Chicago, so I say Zubaz. So Zubaz are one of the coolest fucking things from the 80s, I think. I know it's like from the 80s, like it was of the 80s. I don't know if it came out before then, maybe like the 70s. I don't think so. But anyway, go Google Zubas. I'm such a, like Zubas, Zubaz. I'm going to keep saying it differently. Go Google it if you don't know what I'm talking about. Zubaz. They are a pair of, well, they started off as like almost sweatpants type workout pants. Maybe not even sweatpants because they were too thin to be sweats. They were just kind of like, yeah, thin workout pants that were like cotton. But they had like zebra stripes, basically, would be the best way to describe it, I guess. Or like a tiger, maybe. Like if you just think of their pattern, but you just, the thing with Zubaz was that, all right, they were modeled after pro sports teams. So it's like if, you know, me being a Chicago White Sox fan, well, this was back in the 80s, geez, when they had their older uniforms, it would have been like red, white, and navy blue. Now it would be black, silver, and white. That's the White Sox colors now. But like, you know, if I wanted Chicago Bears, it would be, you know, dark or navy blue, royal, or navy blue, orange, and white, geez. This story sucks. I'm sorry. But anyway, guys, I got some Zubaz for Christmas and I'm very excited. So my sister-in-law, Robbie, I think she listens to the show occasionally. Rob, shout out. Love you. You're probably with Jamie. So Jamie, shout out to you too. And possibly Tuzin, actually. Hey, guys. But anyway, yeah. So Robbie, she brushed right past my smart assedness and she's like, you know what? I'm going to get this son of a bitch a pair of Zubaz. And it was so funny because she's like, as I was opening it, like, I could feel that it was clothing. So I was already kind of like, why did she get me clothing? You know, it's like I didn't. And actually, to be honest with you, I didn't even remember what I wrote down on the sheet. So I tore like one piece and I could see the print. And I was like, is this Zubaz? Like to myself quietly. And she just started laughing. And then Joni started laughing, too, because I guess Robbie must have told her what she got her. And then Robbie started like giving me shit, kind of like, oh yeah, like because of the way I answered was so like elitist, you know, it was just like, oh, if you don't know what Zubaz are, look them up. So it was just awesome that she's like, fine, you prick, I'll get you these pants, make it sound like they're so cool that you can't find them anywhere. They're awesome. They're like, they're white and green, probably like the best pair she could find, I'm assuming, because she knows I'm not an Eagles fan. That's like, or maybe the Dallas Stars. Those are the only two teams I can think of really with those colors. Old Seattle Supersonics. I don't know. But anyway, they're fucking awesome. I haven't worn them enough, to be honest, but I think after I'm done podcasting, I'm going to put them on. So the only other pair of Zubaz I ever owned, by the way, was Green Bay Packers. And that was a gift from a friend, which at the time I thought it was very funny. And the friend did tell, because being a Chicago Bears fan, if you're unfamiliar with what I'm talking about at all, these are NFL football teams. The Green Bay Packers, they're from Wisconsin, which is right above us. Chicago Bears, obviously. That is their biggest rival, the Green Bay Packers. So fuck them. I hope they lose today to Dallas and get knocked out of the playoffs. So, and then the last thing I got, well, actually, back to the Chris. I'm sorry. Like I said, it's been a while. So you just got to listen to my stories for now. We play this. We played this game called Huberekioff. I just made up that name for it when I was doing it this year. This is a game. It's a saran wrap ball, essentially. You collect money from everyone who's going to be in it. And so everyone throws in $20. We're trying to get people to throw in more money for next year just so we can, you know, the game can be like more fun, whatever. But, you know, again, it's Christmas time. People are strapped for cash. So I run this game actually, so I collect everyone's money, and then usually Christmas Eve or just whenever I have time, I guess I just like I drive around and I'll buy however much money I have in gift cards and lottery tickets, essentially, and then sometimes just straight up cash. I'll just leave. But you start with one gift card and you start wrapping it with Saran wrap. Okay, so here I'm telling you the instructions on how to play this game. In case you're looking for a fun Christmas game, it is cool. So, but it can take a long time. So you have to have however many gift cards you have, buy a lot. So obviously if you have like $150 to spend, don't buy one for $100. And you know, because like you need a lot of these because this game takes like an hour, you know? So anyway, I think this year I had like 42 like pieces to put in there, combination of lottery tickets, cash, and then yeah, gift cards. So you start with one, something strong. You could actually even grab like an item, maybe something to help it like roll better. But you take like one of the whatever's in the middle, like you could probably use like whatever is like the biggest gift card. Maybe you bought one like $50 gift card for Amazon or something. So you put that, you start wrapping it with Saran wrap. You just keep going around with it. I don't know, few layers or whatever, slap another one in there. Keep going with the Saran wrap. So basically you keep doing this. However, you want to make it hard for the people who are playing the game. So at times you'll like split the Saran wrap basically. So when sometimes when it runs out, then the person has to try to find where it's starting up again. And all the while you are doing this. So essentially the way to play the game, like I said, you're going to wrap this thing up. So this year the ball, the Saran wrap ball was fucking big. It was like the size of like an NFL football. So when you start the game, everyone sits in a circle and there are two, like wherever the ball goes, the person that is right next to them will be involved. So this is a two-player game and it has to be at all times because the person who is unwrapping the ball, trying to get the gift cards, well, they're doing that and they're rushing to do that. The person right next to them has a pair of dice and they're just throwing, they're rolling the dice until they get a pair. When they get a pair, the person with the ball stops, hands it to the next person, and then the person with the dice hands theirs to the person who had the ball. So everyone just keeps handing it like one spot to the left, and you keep playing that game. Any gift card, anything that falls into your lap, you can't pull on anything. It has to fall out. But yeah, it's an awesome game. So we played that, and yeah, it was a good time. It's a fun game, and I got a lot of fun gift cards. And speaking of gift cards, like gift cards are arguably the greatest fucking thing in the world. I mean, especially if it's for, I mean, I was gonna say like Amazon or eBay or something like that, like places that deliver, but so many places deliver now. Target, Walmart, Best Buy, whatever, got Whole Foods. So just something moving forward, because like I got a bunch of them this year, not just from this ball game, but like people who give you gift cards and just don't write the amount, and it sucks because like you don't want to, I mean like, yeah, it's not like you're gonna like, here I have $5 for Dunkin' Donuts, and it's like if it's $6.24 or whatever, it's like, ah, crap, I can't afford it, never mind. But it sucks when you're just like, you give them one card and they're just like, okay, now you owe $2.68 or whatever, and you have to pull out like more money. But oh my god, guys, I'm so sorry. Like, I can just feel like myself tiring out with this stupid long Christmas story, but I will quickly do some filler.
Everything he's saying is nonsense, and he's fooling them.
All right. Yeah, only because it's been like a month, like I said. If you're new to this show, if you're listening to Citizens of Pawnee for the first time, thank you, by the way. But also, filler is just a little segment where I like to talk about some new stuff I've been watching, TV shows, movies, whatever, just to kind of throw out some recommendations. And I'm going to do this quickly. Fargo, season 2. Right now, the show is on season 5. I talked about this last episode, I think, about how the seasons change stories and characters every season. I fucking loved Fargo season 2. I liked season 1. I thought season 1 was probably like a 7, 7.5. This season for me was like an 8.5, like a 9 maybe. I mean, like, it wasn't perfect and there were a lot of problems. Like, no, I don't want to say like a lot of problems. There were things about this season that I did not like. But overall, I thought it was great. I thought the cast was incredible. So many just like, characters and actors that I love. Nick Offerman, actually, speaking of Parks and Rec, was in it. and it was awesome, too, because he played a character named Carl Weathers. That's right, Carl Weathers, but with a K. So if you don't know who Carl Weathers is, go look him up. He's a national treasure. Godzilla Minus One, fucking amazing movie. I can't remember if I talked about that on the last episode about how I wanted to see it, But yeah, Godzilla Minus One is the newest, at least in theaters. There's another one coming out very soon called Godzilla X Kong, but that's like part of the American franchise. This one, Godzilla Minus One, was actually made by Toho, who are the creators of Godzilla. They started... Actually, that might not be true. I don't know if it was actually Toho. However, this movie was Japanese, like it was created there. It was awesome. It was, definitely better than any of the Godzilla movies we have, like, yeah, as Americans, whether it's the 1998 version with Matthew Broderick or even the 2014 one with Bryan Cranston, which is probably the best one, even though he dies very early. Spoiler, that movie came out 10 years ago. Sorry. Godzilla Minus One. It has like a really fucked up premise, though, because the whole thing is like basically this will be short, I promise. But it's like. Just like a failed kamikaze pilot, basically. This guy was supposed to, like, because this movie takes place around World War II, and this guy was, like, supposed to be a kamikaze pilot, and he just couldn't do it. He was like, fuck this. Like, he basically just kind of, yeah, he couldn't do it. So then he gets back home, and, like, everyone in his country are just like, you're a fucking coward, dude. You're a piece of shit. It's like, oh, my God. It was just terrible. So then, I don't know. You're just like, what the hell is he talking about? Go watch the movie. It was incredible. Speaking of Godzilla, let's hop over to TV though real quick. Monarch: Legacy of Monsters. Show fucking sucks. Like, I hate this show. I think I really genuinely hate this show. It's I'm gonna watch the season finale. It just came out, and because I hope they show some cool shit. That's all I'll say there. And then the last thing, more TV. Echo. This just dropped on Disney Plus. This is part of the MCU. That's the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It is not the MCU you're used to. If you didn't watch any of the Netflix Marvel shows, which was Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Punisher, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist, this is not the Marvel you're used to. This is very gritty. People getting shot in the head, people getting quickly, you know, like bones, necks snapped, things like that, and it being shown, not like off screen. So... first of all, actually, I would recommend go watch the three seasons of Daredevil. It's some of the best stuff that Marvel has put out. However, they just kind of like they had to rewrite stories to put those characters into the MCU because those things were made years before. Like, well, actually, they were made around the same time, I guess. But Echo, yeah, it was five episodes. They came out on January 9th, all five episodes, and it was very quick to rip through. I actually, it took me like 2 days to go through, but that's only because I wanted to wait, just because I didn't want to rip through. I wish these only almost would have come out like, you know, like, maybe how they did like What If, which is another thing I'm not going to get into, but like What If was another thing Disney put out over Christmas break where they did nine episodes and they all came out in like nine consecutive days. That was pretty cool to wake up to like every morning. Also, I was off every single one of those days. So it was nice to wake up and just be like, all right, new Marvel. But yeah, this show Echo is, it'll go on. The story will expand. I don't know if they're going to do another season of this, but this character will go on. Kingpin was back. Daredevil were back. It was fucking awesome to see both of them. I can't recommend Daredevil enough. And I know that's weird because I'm talking about Echo, but this show is in that vein and it's in that world. So check out Daredevil, all three seasons. Check out Jessica Jones seasons one and two. Maybe not even two, maybe just one. And then don't worry about Luke Cage and Iron Fist. Those were terrible. Don't worry about The Defenders. That was garbage. And then you can probably watch like the two or three seasons of Punisher if you really, really, really like violence. But anyway, let's talk about some Parks and Rec. So I know last week the plan was to just start off with episode, I don't know what number it is, but season four, episode one, which is I'm Leslie Nope. However, again, since I took off a little longer than anticipated, I thought, you know what, and I knew I was going to be kind of like wasting a lot of time on Christmas and whatnot. And I apologize. So if you're listening to this, that wasn't the intent of this episode, just to kind of like talk and then just like throw in also a season three recap, but so I do have a lot of notes here to talk about season three. But first off, and I did actually real quick, I did go back and listen to the recap I did on season two, so that was like 17 episodes ago, so I kind of tried to keep the format the same, or at least talk about the same things. So anyway, all right, so to start off, season three is in my opinion, and based on IMDb, like just the rankings, it's the best season of Parks and Rec. It has So this is the short. No, it's not the shortest. I'm sorry. Actually, season one is, and then season seven, and then this one. This was the year that the writer's strike happened. Not obviously not the writer's strike that just ended, but you know, this one was almost 10 years ago. And so there's only 16 episodes in this season, and it is. It has 14 out of the 16 episodes are an 8 or higher on IMDb. So that just goes to show you it's not just me. Like, the fans love this one. To kind of just show you, like, a little perspective there. Season 2 had 24 episodes. Only 10 of them were over an 8 on IMDb. And then season 1 had 6 episodes. 0 of them were over 8. So it just shows you, like, the evolution of this show. It is getting better. Now, those of you who haven't watched all of it, please don't take this the wrong way. Like, when I say, like, this is the best season, meaning like it's all downhill from here, because that is not the case at all. This show is fucking fantastic. So stick with it. Speaking of, just this season as a whole, like, some of the banger episodes, some of the best ones, you got Flu Season, Ron and Tammy 2, Harvest Festival, Andy and April's Fancy Party, The Fight, Little Sebastian. Like I said, I mean, like, you can just go back and listen to these episodes or just go watch them. Actually, I hadn't watched any Parks and Rec, no joke, on like this whole break, because I had all these notes written down like when I planned to record, which was like a couple weeks ago, but it was just like, no, I'm not ready. So, because you got to be like in a mood to podcast. Otherwise, you know, I know I'm making it sound like this, like the show's any good. But anyway, my favorite episode from season 3 was, I think it was April and Andy's favorite party, because there were so many good ones, like I said, the ones I just listed off, but this was like, you know, it was a really sweet episode. It was very unexpected to like a first-time viewer, and again, I have to reiterate this because I haven't mentioned it in a while. When I started watching Parks and Rec, like when I finally was just like, all right, I'm going to give this show a try, it was when I started like watching it after The Office. So it's not like I went on Netflix and started from season 1. Like, I was on like season 3 or 4 when I started Parks and Rec. So April and Andy were already together. It was just like, okay. So their wedding, you know, like how quickly it comes up, like even just because April and Andy, like, they're dating by now, but they've only been dating for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 episodes before they decide it's like, fuck it, let's get married. So yeah, when I started watching Parks and Rec in like season 3 or 4, and it was like, oh, okay, I didn't know those two were married. That's pretty cool. And then you go back and you start, all right, hey, I'm going to go from the beginning. I'm going to actually watch it from season 1. And it starts off and he lives with Ann Perkins. You're like, what the fuck? Like, I was so confused with Andy's character. And it was just like, all right, well, I am very excited to see how he's going to go from Ann to April. And the journey is amazing. But anyway, so yeah, that's why it just, like, this... these two characters, it makes so much sense, like, that they would get married after having been dating for like a month. And, you know, Leslie, really, in that episode, Leslie's the only one that has like any repercussions, which is so good. And I think that's because everyone knows them so well. Like, well, Ron, for one, is more so just like, just fucking leave him alone. It's none of your business. I think that's his. But like, I think their families, and then like April's mom and dad, who are just so like, I don't know, maybe clueless. I don't know. But oh, it's good that they trust Andy, at least. This episode too, Andy and April's fancy party has one of the best cold opens, which is Ron's tooth, the part where he pulls out his own tooth. We've talked about that. We meet Oren in this episode. it's fucking awesome. And then the great moment when Ben tells Leslie that he's going to stay in Pawnee. It's one of my favorite scenes. I mean, just how, in the beginning of the episode, he's like, hey, you know, like, my boss from Indianapolis wants me to go back on the road. But I was thinking about, you know, seeing if I could just stay here. And like, he's expecting Leslie to be like, yeah, you got to stay, you should stay. But she's like, oh, well, I don't know, let's think about it. So it kind of throws him off. But, you know, she really wants him to stay, and he wants her to say that. So then at the end of the episode, when she's like, you know, come on, you got to stay, man, you got to stay. And he's like, oh, I already told him I'm staying. It was fucking fantastic. So least favorite episode from season 3, Eagleton. Usually the pretty much any of the episodes, like the Eagleton ones, are kind of one note, where it's just like, hey, our town's better than yours, yada yada. It's like the one with Reston St. James, I think is his name. Reston St. Parr, something like that. But he's the guy that makes he's the guy from Eagleton that wants to make the park for Leslie, and it's like real nice. And then the other shithead Eagletons, they like make a really disgraceful park, and they were anyway. But like, yeah, so the Eagleton episodes are pretty similar. It's just hey, they're better than us, they're assholes, yada, yada, yada. Also, Lindsay Carlisle Shay, I talked about it when I covered that episode. She's one of the worst fucking Parks and Rec characters ever. And also, I'm just not a huge fan of Parker Posey. So that alone is enough to make me hate this episode. According to IMDb, the best episode is Flu Season and Andy and April's Party. They both got an 8.9. And then the worst one, according to IMDb, is Media Blitz and also Camping, which both got 7.9, which in my opinion, those are both fucking good episodes. I love, like, Media Blitz, the whole thing, obviously Ben, like, just him not knowing how to talk to, like, in front of cameras is incredible. And then the Camping, actually, I'll get to that part. It has what I think is the funniest single moment in this entire series, so I'll hold off on that, but I'll mention it when I get to it. Okay. However, yeah, speaking of those numbers, though, 7.9 being the lowest one, that is still higher than the highest one from season one, which is Rock Show, which is a 7.6. And that episode's not bad, but it's just like as you get more into Parks and Rec, you realize why. It's just like, okay, it's like The Office. Like season one, it's like, all right, we're trying things. And then in season two, it's like, okay, we're gonna. By season three, it's like, we fucking got this figured out. We're good. So, hell yeah. All right, so I was curious what all of you thought, so I had to head over to Instagram, and admittedly, I went to the Parks Rec memes page. I don't usually do polls and stuff on Citizens of Pawnee just because there's not as many people to get answers from. I went on there, and I asked, just in a story, what is your favorite episode from season three? And the picks were Flu Season, Lil Sebastian, The Fight, and April and Andy's Fancy Party. The winner was Flu Season. That is episode two from season three. That got a 32%. Lil Sebastian got a 29%. The Fight, 25%. And April and Andy's Party, 14%. And then the least favorite episode. I don't know if I mentioned it for the first one, for the favorite episode. 1,500 people voted there. It was like just under. It was like 1,480 something. For least favorite episode, around 1,400 people voted. Time Capsule is the worst episode. 38% of the people said that. Then they said Eagleton, 26%. Then they said Media Blitz, 19%. Then they said Camping, 17%. All right, so some of the story arcs in this season. For Leslie, I'm just going to break this down kind of by character. Leslie decides to bring back the now-defunct Harvest Festival in an attempt to bring some money back to the department. This covers the first seven episodes and becomes a massive success. Holy crap, I am so sorry. Anne and Chris begin dating after they made out at the end of season two. However, when Chris breaks up with Anne, she doesn't know it. These two didn't have huge storylines. Chris was living in Indianapolis for a lot of it, and Anne was missing episodes or at least having very small roles. I did talk about that, I remember. Chris comes back as city manager after Paul Iaresco has a heart attack. So yeah, right after the Harvest Festival, Paul Iaresco, the city manager, the only man that Ron Swanson fears, has a heart attack. And then Rob Lowe is. So that is awesome. That's why they originally were just going to keep him in the capacity he was. And then it was like, hey, the fans love you, man. So let's bring him back. So that's when Chris and Ben essentially became like staples of the show and like full timers. So Ben, who's his arc of the season had a lot to do with Leslie. Like I said, he decided to stay in Pawnee after the shutdown to help out with the Harvest Festival. So that was, and that was more so, yeah, after April and Andy's wedding, because Ben's, it was supposed to be, he was going to help with the Harvest Festival and then he was going to take off, which in that episode, Tom, the dickhead, he's like, why are you still here? You're supposed to leave after the Harvest Festival anyway. So, yeah, he decides to stay in Pawnee permanently. We find out that Ben is terrified of police and public speaking. and then he also moves in with April and Andy this season. And did I write? Yeah, okay, yeah. So I have more on Leslie and Ben as a couple, don't worry. Ron, he briefly dates Tom's now ex-wife, Wendy Haverford. That doesn't go on long. But this ends when she moves back to Canada. He remarries his ex-wife Tammy too for like one episode, and then this happens though after Tom tries using her to make Ron jealous. We see Tammy 1 and Tammy 2 at the very end of season 3. However, Tammy 1, we kind of get a glimpse of her and we know that she's coming. So April, in the beginning of the season, she's missing. We find out that she went to Venezuela and she met a guy named Eduardo who she's now dating. This is clearly just like a storyline just kind of quickly to make Andy jealous, and also because at the end of season two, if you'll recall, Anne kissed Andy, so now April left, she comes back with this guy, and again, there's like no love there, at least that we know of. But if you go back to that episode, I forgot which, it might be the first episode of season three when Eduardo is introduced. I think I talk a little more about the mystery behind him, and it's like, how, like, where was this guy staying, and was he staying at April's house, and are, I don't know, like, are they a couple, are they having relations? I have no idea. But anyway, okay, so like, as far as Andy, like, to start off the season, we get like more of the same from season two, which is just him basically stalking April now instead of stalking Anne. I hate to use the word stalking, but I mean, it is kind of like, Andy, fucking come on, man. Like, he does some, like, dude, back off. So, all right, but these two finally do get together, and then a few weeks later, they have a surprise wedding, as I talked about. Andy writes the song 5,000 Candles in the Wind, which is Bye Bye Little Sebastian, to the layman. And then April becomes Andy's manager. Now, I'm not sure if she becomes the Mouse Rat manager. I think she, like, specifically Andy Dwyer / Johnny Karate manager. All right, so Leslie and Ben, they start secretly dating, but become more careless as the season goes on and on, and they get caught by numerous people, such as Ron, Leslie's mom, and a city worker named George Williams. Tom becomes more business-centered. He's actually, I think, like, as the evolution of the show goes, Tom's character gets better, but there are still those episodes here and there where you're like, man, I fucking hate him so much. So, yeah, he's getting a little bit better. Where are we at? He has to sell his shares in the Snake Hole Lounge, basically, just because being a government worker, he can't use that power to run the bar. Go watch the episode, The Fight. It's fantastic. He joins up with John Ralphio to start Entertainment 720. This is at like the very end of season three, so you're going to see more of that moving forward. And his girlfriend very early on in the season, Lucy, who we met last season, season two, she dumped him in between the two seasons early on because he can't get over his jealousy of Ron. Not like, yeah, so that's the weird thing you kind of find out, because Ron starts dating his ex-wife, and it's like, Tom only becomes jealous of this when it becomes more, like, obvious to him that he is, like, less than a man. I don't know. I don't know how. I don't want to say it, like, without, like, offending anyone. But, like, Ron is, like, a very manly man, and Tom just knows that he is not that. And I think the fact that Wendy is with a guy that Tom wants to be, I think that's more what it is. Like, I don't think Tom's like, oh no, like Wendy, like he does try to get her back. But again, I think it's all just for image. He wants to be with this beautiful, successful woman. And yeah. So anyway, enough of that. And then after the success of the Harvest Festival, which is like the halfway point in season three, and Little Sebastian's memorial, Leslie is approached by two campaign managers about running for city council. So that is how season three ends, if you remember. I'm sure you do, because you've all seen this show, and also I talked about it a few weeks ago. New characters we meet in season three. We meet Ethel Beavers. We meet Oren. Speaking of the two campaign managers, William Barnes and Elizabeth. We never catch her last name. We meet them. We meet Brandy Max. Yeah, one of my favorite characters with four X's. Never forget it. Chief Trumple. Bjorn Lurpus of the dynastic but completely powerless Lurpus family. Officer Randy Killnose and Officer Scorgle. Randy Killnose, awesome name. He's the one that you'll know more. He's in the most episodes, I would say, as far as the police officers. He's the one that, these two cops here, Scorgle and Killnose, they're the same two who in the episode, season five, or no, it's not season five. Oh, it's season three. Yes, yeah, the one when Chief Trumple's running, and or maybe it's his retirement, but the one when the two cops catch Ben and they're just like, hey, man, you gonna have a drink? He's like, yeah, I'm gonna have one. And the guy's like, you can't drink and drive. He's like, oh, I'm not gonna have any. He's like, come on, dude. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so that's those two officers who they're not like main characters, but again, they're Citizens of Pawnee and we see them in multiple episodes. Also, Crazy Ira and the Douche, and also China Joe, who we do see in a couple episodes. JJ from JJ's Diner, obviously. Ken Hotate, Dennis Feinstein, Pearl, who is the Citizen of Pawnee. He's the Citizen of Pawnee, the one who's always like in the crowd. And he's like, I loved the episode with the Eagleton episode. He's the one that's like, well, maybe we could like build a fence around their fence so that if they have fence maintenance, they'll have to climb over our fence to get to, like the really dumb one. And then you find out, like in season 7, that he collects stuffed animals or stuffed pigs, I guess. But yeah, we met him. Eduardo, April's boyfriend, like I said. Little Sebastian, who we also lose. And then this is not a character, but it kind of is. The Swanson Pyramid of Greatness we also meet. And then, yeah, I guess I could say we meet, we're introduced to an amazing song, 5,000 Candles in the Wind, which is Bye-Bye Little Sebastian by Miles Rat. All right, so we said so long to these characters. These characters either passed or they're just not in the show anymore. Paul Iaresco, who I mentioned, he was the city manager, and he had the octuple bypass. Unbelievable octuple. Derek and Ben, thank God. They were actually only in one episode here, and it was just to be there for April and Andy's wedding, and they're gone. So they were pretty much gone after season 2, but I do like that they brought him in. I really appreciate it. However, I'm happy that they had zero dialogue in this episode. Eduardo, who I just mentioned, he's only in a few episodes, comes and goes, and then pour one out, everyone. Little Sebastian. All right. Okay, so the funniest scenes, I've got a few of them listed here, and then the last one is the one that I think is probably the one that got me the hardest, and it's the one I mentioned, I don't know, a little bit ago. The cold opens, the tooth pull, again, right before April and Andy's wedding, and then the coffee pot, which I think might be before, the coffee pot, I think, is before the fight. But either way, that's, you know, the one where Ron busted the pop, and then he gets the whole office to start arguing with each other. It's incredible. But my favorite probably line by Chris, when he says to Dr. Harris, "You are literally the meanest person I've ever met," because again, the delivery is so incredible. And the fact that Chris is talking to Dr. Harris like he's like a petulant little child who's upset. He's just like, "You are the meanest person I ever met." Obviously the classic one, one of the most popular Parks and Rec lines in its history, Andy Dwyer talking about the, "Hey, I put your symptoms up here into the bar and it says that you might have connectivity problems." Classic one. The Swanson Pyramid of Greatness, fucking incredible. I have the poster hanging on my wall next to my desk. Actually, I have, and this is another thing, speaking of trying to get more interactive with you listeners, earlier when I talked about how I wanted to have like a trivia thing, I have an extra Swanson Pyramid of Greatness poster still rolled up in the tube it was delivered in. No joke, because I talked about this, I think it was last Christmas. My wife ordered me this not knowing I already had it. So maybe whenever we do come up with something, that could be a prize or something. All right. So we'll get to that one of these days. All right. Another one of my favorite parts, Andy's speech at the wedding. I'm not playing the clip because I played it then, but yeah, just how he tries to sound so proper and it makes no sense. And then at the end, Ron's just like, "What?" You know, and he's like, "Big event, that room, 15 minutes. Ron's eyebrows when they get blown off in the Little Sebastian episode, just how he looks with like his hair is like very matty. And it just imagines how you would think like burnt hair. Well, I mean, we've all seen burnt hair, I'm assuming, or smelt it. Oh God, it's the worst thing. And then the part that I was talking about specifically where I said this is my favorite single moment from season 3. It is the part where on the camping episode, where at the end of the episode, and it's the tag, when Ben and Jerry are sitting and they're listening to Elsa Clack play her fucking harpsichord, the do 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 do, and then it just cuts to Ben, and he's immediately like, "Yeah, she died like 20 minutes later." So, I did obviously sing longer than I should have, and you're probably like, "God, this guy's a terrible hummer/singer," but. The scene actually goes on for like a minute, and it's so funny because, yeah, if you don't recall, this is after they went camping and then they realized the trip sucked, so they had to stop at a bed and breakfast, and Ben and Jerry are in the room with her, where her harpsichord is, which is like a kind of like an electronic piano almost. But she's playing that, and there's a bunch of cats, and Jerry's loving it. There's a cat sitting on his lap, and he's just having the time of his life, and like Ben's trying to get out of the room, but it's like locked from the outside. And it's just so funny. And he just like pathetically sits down, like knowing that he can't get out. And then, yeah, it just cuts immediately to, yeah, just how the woman died 20 minutes later. It's just so fucking incredible. All right, so moving forward, Leslie, she's going to be running for city council. What's going on with her and Ben? These two are still together, at least at the end of this episode. And I have mentioned it's like, well, they don't stay together, but they'll, you know, they'll end up together. So got some of that coming. Is this going to turn into a scandal? I don't know. I feel like it is. April and Andy, will they last? Spoiler, yes, they will fucking last. And they're going to be arguably the best couple in the show. Chris and Anne, is there still a flame there? Because at the end of the season here, and because earlier in the episode for Little Sebastian, she had told Chris, like, dude, like, you really, like, you fucked me up when we broke up. And I'm not ready to like be back in a relationship with you right now. And I'm not ready to be friends with you. And he's like, all right, cool. You know, I get it. But at the end here, she kind of, maybe she feels bad for like how she like kind of said that to him or whatever. But you know, he almost like he says something that makes it sound like he's like, yeah, I'm interested in Anne again. What's going to happen with Tom? You know, he's there's this Entertainment 720, this huge venture that him and John Ralphio are starting. We saw like the very beginning of it at the end of season 3 when they were doing Little Sebastian's memorial service. And then for Ron, Tammy won. We've only heard about her. She's back. However, I'm going to have to say really quickly, though, that she is only in one episode. actually, she's shown, I think, in 2 episodes, but we only actually see her full evilness in the one episode. So look forward to her. We're going to have more of the same characters coming back. It's awesome. It's awesome. I know I obviously didn't talk much about Donna and Jerry. They're still just kind of, I'm not saying background characters. I mean, like, they're still, they don't join the opening credits sequence until season 6 when Rob Lowe and Rashida Jones leave the show. But they're still like, they have been basically moved up to series regulars. However, they still just don't have many storylines going on. Like at this point, we know that Donna is very like kind of image obsessed. She loves her Mercedes. Like when her Mercedes gets shot, that's more important than when Ron got shot in the back of the head, you know? And then with Jerry, we're kind of getting more of this, God, what an unlucky doofus he is, but we haven't met his family yet. So that's still to come. And then we also haven't found out who Donna's celebrity cousin is, though I feel most of you know it. All right, but that's going to wrap up this episode. If you'd like to contact the show, citizendepawnee@gmail.com is how you can do that. You can also like and follow on Instagram at citizendepawneepodcast and at parksrecmemes. If you want to hear more of my sexy voice, I was on Flips and Bumps podcast the other day with my buddy Sasha talking all fun things reselling. So just wherever you find Citizens of Pawnee, just type in Flips and Bumps and check that out. Next week, we start season 4 with episode 1. I'm Leslie Nope. Thank you for listening to Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast. My name is Brian, and I'll see you next Tuesday. John Ralphio's game show idea is called Open Heart Surgery, where 2 contestants flip a coin. One person performs the open heart surgery, and the other person receives the open heart surgery.